For you who haven't met them, the couple sitting back there in front of Merle and Charlotte's, Ken and Leah Van Sweden. They just moved in from New Jersey last week while I was gone, and we welcome you here. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Like the prophets of old, gospel preachers are men chosen, called, gifted, and sent of God to deliver His people. They're chosen, called, and sent of God for the deliverance of His people. Now I want to show you something about this great work and the men God uses to do it. So let's read together Exodus 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be the token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now let's first look at the context in which this text is found. That man who is called of God, that man who is sent of God to preach the gospel, whether you're talking about a prophet, an apostle, or a gospel preacher, is one who has learned and experienced the very things that God taught Moses in this chapter. In verses 1 through 5, Christ revealed Himself to Moses. And the man who is sent of God to preach the gospel, the man who is called and gifted of God to preach the gospel, is one to whom the Lord Jesus has been revealed in His saving power, grace, and efficacy as God our Savior. No man is called of God. No man is sent to preach the gospel except that man to whom and in whom Christ has been revealed as God our Savior, glorious in holiness and determined to save and mighty to save. When Moses saw Christ in His glory, then he understood what he later calls the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. That is, he understood God's purpose and grace in the saving of His people. Then in verses 6, 7, and 8, we see that God reminded Moses of His covenant relationship with His elect. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That man who is sent of God, that man who speaks for God, is one who knows God's purpose of grace, His determination to save His people. The man who preaches the gospel by the gift, anointing, and power of God, the man who is called and gifted of God, understands that God Almighty is a God of purpose, that His purpose is the salvation of His people. I don't mean to say by that He immediately understands all the intricacies of that purpose. The fact is, we are ever learning of that purpose. But he understands that God is God indeed, and that He's a God of purpose. God's purpose is the salvation of His people. He knows something of the Savior's love and care and His compassion for His own. Look at verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He who is God, determined to save His people, knows His people and has compassion upon them. And He knows that the Lord Jesus Christ will assuredly save His own. He said, I've come down to deliver them, verse 8, out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land unto a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey. That man who's sent of God to preach the gospel, like Moses, knows that he is sent on an errand of mercy that is sure to succeed, sent to do a work that cannot fail. I said to you Tuesday night, and it's worth repeating, God never sent a man to do anything at which he failed. God never sent a man to do anything at which he failed. Moses was here called of God to preach the gospel, knowing that he was sent on an errand that was sure to succeed, an errand that could not fail. The gospel of Christ cannot be preached and is not preached with uncertainty. The trumpet of God does not give an uncertain sound, but a certain sound. God says, "Behold, I will save my people. The Lord Jesus shall save his people from their sins." He says, "I am come down to deliver them." And deliver them he will. He'll do it exactly as he is ordained by the preaching of the gospel. Isaiah 55:11 is a very familiar text. It needs ever to be borne in mind. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's servants, God's church, is given the commission of God to preach the gospel to every creature with this clear understanding. God will bless the work exactly as he has ordained for the saving of his people. Failure is not a possibility with God's church and God's preachers. They are sent forth to carry the word into the four corners of the earth for the saving of God's elect. We don't know how, we don't know when, we don't know where God will make the work effectual. But by whatever means he gives us, it's our privilege and responsibility to proclaim the gospel in our generation. Would to God that every preacher and every congregation where the gospel of God's grace is known would give themselves utterly to this blessed work and wait for God to work. We don't manipulate people. We dare not try to persuade people by psychological manipulation and emotionalism and such stuff to make a profession of faith. That's of no avail to anyone, but only does harm. We simply proclaim the gospel and wait for God to work. In this place, we have seen, by God's grace and mercy, many, many tokens of the success of the work. Back, what was it, Larry, 2005, 2006, somewhere in there, he started a Free Grace Radio thing on the Internet. I can't tell you the number of people we've heard from over the years who heard the gospel of God's grace by that means. People around the world we never see. But there are people who hear the word and God calls out his elect by the word of the gospel. In a word, that man who's called and sent of God to deliver his people is a man who knows who Christ is, why he came into this world, and what he accomplished. This was clearly revealed to Moses as he stood before the Lord Jesus at the burning bush. Who can fail to see that the picture given here is a clear prophetic picture of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus? Because he saw the affliction of his people by reason of sin and death in due time, the Lord Jesus came down here to bring us up to heavenly glory. He says, "The day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." He says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord Jesus said to Moses, "I am come down." And 1,500 years later, Jehovah Jesus came down from his Father's house on high. Came down into this world of sin and sorrow as one of us. He came here in our nature to redeem and save his spiritual Israel out of the hand of their enemies. The purpose for which he came was to deliver his people, to bring them up out of that land, to seek and to save that which was lost, to seek and save his sheep, to bring all that the Father gave him in eternal love with him into heavenly glory. Our blessed Savior came down here to bring us into a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to bring us by resurrection into that boundless land of grace and glory, where we shall forever enjoy everything that is designed of God and needful for us to the everlasting satisfaction and delight of our souls. Shelby and I went over to see Bob and Mary Lou Friday. And Bob is not long for here, I hope, and pray. He's just sleeping. We didn't get to talk to him. But soon, the Lord Jesus will bring him into that good and large land. And as we talk to Mary Lou, that's not a thing to be dreaded, but rather a thing to be desired. Not a thing to be feared, but a thing to be anticipated. And He does this by resurrection. First, by spiritual resurrection, called the first resurrection. He raises us from death to life by the power of His grace. I remember back in August of 2006, I got a call one Saturday from Brother Bob. He called and said, God has laid me flat on my back, and I haven't been able to do anything but listen to you on television on Sunday mornings when the folks there are broadcasting. He said, I've taught Sunday school in these religious places around this part of the country for 25 years. And I wonder if it'd be all right if I come out and sit down and maybe God will teach me something about the gospel. And Sunday morning, he's sitting right there. And been right there ever since until he became bedfast. And God taught him the gospel of His grace, raising him from the dead. That's what the new birth is. And there is another resurrection, the resurrection of these bodies, of which our physical death is but the anticipation. It's called the redemption of the body. Mary Lou was asking me about it Friday. What does the Bible say about cremation? And I talked to her a good bit. The Scriptures do not forbid it, but I don't encourage it. You see, our Lord Jesus didn't just redeem our souls. He redeemed us. And these bodies shall be raised from the dead. These very bodies, raised in immortality, raised in incorruption to the glory of God. And we bury our dead in anticipation of the resurrection. Then in verse 10, the Lord Jesus sends Moses to deliver His people and teaches us that that man who is used of God for the deliverance of His people is one who has been sent of God, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself for that purpose. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses was commissioned by God to be His prophet, a man sent for the salvation of God's Israel, God's typical covenant people in the Old Testament, sent to deliver them from their physical bondage in Egypt. In precisely the same way, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. In precisely the same way, the Lord Jesus commissions gospel preachers and His church to be His messengers for the salvation of His Israel, His elect, to deliver them from their spiritual bondage. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, all authority and all might. Go ye therefore, since I possess all authority and all might in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't go baptize them and teach them. He says teach them and baptize them. Because those who are baptized in the name of Christ must first know Christ. Baptism is the believer's public confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. And having taught them, he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Christ people, the church of God, God's preachers, are sent to proclaim the gospel of His grace throughout the world. But Moses was sent specifically to deliver Israel, only Israel. Now, I know sometimes people get the idea that our object is the salvation of everybody. That is not the case. That is not the case. Our object is the salvation of God's elect. The Lord Jesus sends us specifically to save His people from their sins. He sends us to proclaim the gospel for the saving of His people. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel. There were other slaves in bondage in Egypt besides the Israelites. But God did not deliver those other slaves in Egypt. He didn't have intention of delivering those other slaves in Egypt. He sent Moses to deliver Israel and only Israel. He was sent for the salvation of God's chosen people. He calls them my people, the children of Israel. They became His people as a nation by a covenant He made with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. So today, the Lord God, our Savior, sends gospel preachers specifically to deliver His elect. No, preachers are not saviors. You and I don't save anyone. The church of God doesn't save anyone. But we are, by God's grace, by the gospel we preach, the instruments by which God saves His elect. God saves His people only by the instrumentality of gospel preaching. Now that needs stressing in our day, and it needs stressing in our minds. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God has predestinated the salvation of His people. And all those God chose in eternity and predestined to everlasting life shall be saved. But they will be saved in precisely the method God has ordained. You see, God never gets in a pinch. God's never in a bind. He controls everything. You and I plan things. We're going to do this, this, and this. And then suddenly, something comes up and you get in a bind. And you have to change plans. God is never in a bind. God ordained the salvation of His elect by the instrumentality of gospel preaching. That's the reason we spend our resources, our energies. The preacher spends his life. Missionaries are sent to the foreign field to preach the gospel of God's grace because God has ordained by the foolishness of preaching that He would save them that believe. I once knew a fellow who was involved in missionary work, and his business was to fly over different places and just drop out Gospel of John booklets. Just drop them out. That's not missionary work. That's not missionary work. Missionary work is the preaching of the gospel. Gathering together chosen redeemed sinners by the gospel. Establishing gospel churches and training men to preach the gospel. That's what missionary work is. That's what evangelism is. God has ordained this as the means by which He'll save His people. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I know that if God determined to do so, He could save sinners by speaking to them through a donkey. He did with Balaam. He spoke to Balaam that way. But He hadn't ordained that. He could save sinners by sending an angel to tell them about salvation. Or He could save them without any instrumentality at all. But He has ordained the salvation of His elect by the preaching of the gospel. Our Savior sent Moses to the place where His people were, to the place of their bondage. He said, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. So the Lord Jesus sends His preachers with His message to the place where His people are found in bondage. Though chosen by grace and redeemed by His blood, God's elect by nature are in bondage just like all other men. Since this bondage is universal, God sends His preachers, His servants into all the world, even to the ends of the earth. And yet, by His Spirit, by His wise, orderly disposition of providence, in due time, at the appointed time of love, He sends them to each of His elect. He sends His Word and heals them. He says, as he did to, as David did to Mephibosheth's servant, fetch him. Fetch him. God sends his servants by the arrangement of providence, by the power of his spirit, precisely to his chosen, where they're found at the time of love. Oh, how he arranges things. Brother Bobby, I just caught his eye, has said to me many times, God's method for causing him to hear the gospel was sending Judy Montgomery to be his wife. And God arranges things just at his time. He sent Paul to Philippi just when Lydia was there selling purple. Paul was arrested at Philippi just by that Philippian jailer who put him in jail that the jailer might hear the gospel. Onesimus was brought to bonds at Rome just when Paul was there to preach the gospel. So it is to this day. God, at the appointed time of love, sends his messenger to his chosen to call them by his grace. The Lord Jesus sent Moses to deliver his people from oppression and to overthrow their oppressors. In verses 16 through 20 of this third chapter of Exodus, the Lord assured Moses that he would overthrow Pharaoh and the Egyptians and all those who possessed the land into which he would give them, he would bring them, and the land that he would give them for their own possession and their own inheritance. You see, the oppressors must be defeated if the oppressed are to be delivered. So it is that our blessed Savior sends his servants out to proclaim the gospel, assuring us of God's boundless free grace, and by that grace assuring us that he will foil our enemies, every one of them. Sin, death, hell, and the devil himself. We are sent forth to preach the gospel with this assurance. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Oh, what a word. The gates of hell will never prevail against God's church. It is our business constantly to assault the gates of hell, not by marching in the streets and protest and rallies and all the whoopee stuff that people do and get themselves excited about in a political or civil sense. No, no, no. You don't find any of that in this book. You don't find any of that in this book. How then do we assault the gates of hell? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. But that's not working. It is working, and it will work, and nothing else does. We proclaim the gospel of God's grace, and the Lord Jesus promises us that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses to the face, evil men, seducers waxing worse and worse, will oppose us. No problem. All they can do is oppose. All they can do is oppose. All the political world can do is oppose. All the religious world can do is oppose. All the civil magistrates can do is oppose. They cannot prevail over God's church. It can't be done. Years ago, after the Iron Curtain was brought down, the Soviet Union broke up, Brother Bill Clark went to Russia, and they established a distribution center there for books. And as they were getting on the train, everybody was just, the thing that I'm told by folks who visited, everybody just look away from me. Everybody's suspicious of everybody. But somehow word got out these were preachers. And getting on a train to get ready to leave Russia, someone slipped Bill a note. Just slipped him a note and walked away. And Bill sat down and read the note. And the note read, "There are believers here." There are believers here. The gates of hell shall not prevail by any means against the gospel of God's free grace in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, be sure you don't fail to observe the word now. Come now, and I will send thee. God always sends his servants to his chosen at the appointed time of deliverance. 40 years earlier, Moses took it on himself to deliver Israel. And you know how that turned out. That didn't work so well. He decided to take matters into his own hands. What a horrible mistake. But now, after 400 years of servitude and affliction appointed by God had run their course. Now, 40 years after Moses first stood to defend Israel, the time of divine intervention had come. Now the hour of grace had arrived. Now God would prepare His people to receive His word. The pleasant pastures of Goshen were made bitter to them. That's always the way God works. He abases before He exalts. He strips before He clothes. He wounds before He heals. He kills before He makes alive. God will not be rushed. His grace is always exactly on time. Now, one more thing. Look at Moses' response to God's call. Verse 11. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" At 80, he wasn't so eager as he was at 40. Experience had sobered him. Keeping sheep had tamed him. He saw himself now as one completely inadequate, totally insufficient for this great work. That's always the response of men who are called of God to preach the gospel. Who am I? Who am I that God should send me to this work? When men act by their own appointment as and put themselves, as it were, into this service, when they act by their own will, they're completely confident in themselves. They may have a pretense of humility, but they're completely confident in themselves. The man who is called of God has no confidence in the flesh. And I repeat, that man who is sent of God is sent forth with a confident assurance that his work as God's messenger shall not be in vain. Let us labor earnestly and zealously, preaching the gospel of God's grace, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know very little about those whose lives are affected by the ministry of just this one congregation, let alone others. And it's best that we know little about it, lest we should be lifted up with pride and arrogance and haughtiness. But this be assured of: nothing done for Christ, nothing done for the saving of God's elect, nothing done for the furtherance of the gospel is done in vain. So shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Amen.